following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
Let's turn in our Bibles or Bible apps to Revelation chapter 4. And I'm very grateful to be with you guys again this morning. I'm very grateful that you have accepted my friend Josh DeBoer and his wife Hillary. And you guys seem to have really appreciated him and enjoyed him and his ministry. And that makes me really happy because I was his pastor for several years and I've got to watch the Lord work in his life. And I think this is just wonderful, just wonderful. And so I'm very happy about that. And also very happy that it seems like it's going very well with my friend Alan Gilman. And so I'm happy about that as well. And so I get little bits of news about you guys every once in a while when I run into him at the bridgehead across the street. So it's good. I'm happy to be here this morning. This is a text that's very familiar to me. And I really hope that it serves as an encouragement to each one of you personally, but then also as a church. I believe the Lord really wants to encourage you this morning through this particular text. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read it, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to highlight a couple of things that I believe will be a blessing to you, okay? That'll be our plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, as we have sung, Lord, we love you. And we are very grateful to be a part of your kingdom. We're very grateful, Lord, to have been adopted into your family. Lord, grateful to have entered into the beloved. Lord, through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we're grateful to be here this morning, gathered with the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, grateful to be here. Father, we pray, first of all, this morning for our government and for our leaders, federal, provincial, local. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each one of these people, give them wisdom and courage to make good laws, good decisions, good policies. Lord, for all the people that live in Canada, we pray, Lord, that we'd be able to continue to live in peace and in dignity, and that the door would stay open for the gospel. Lord, we pray for the LRT and the public transit in Ottawa, and what a problem that's been since its launch. Lord, we pray that solutions would come and come fast, Lord, to bless the people in Ottawa. Lord, we pray for more housing, affordable housing in Ottawa. Lord, that the relief would come to the homeless, Lord, here in this city. And then, Lord, all the negotiations that are going on with the schools, Lord, we pray for a good resolution to all those. Lord, that's going to be good for children and families and parents. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for us as we're sitting here this morning with your word opened up in front of us, surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, would you come? Would you open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to the truth? And may the truth set us free, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "After this I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit. And there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian. And around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders, dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there's something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Awesome scene. John, of course, is the one that is writing this, John the Beloved, one of the disciples, and he has been given this vision, this revelation of God, this revelation of Jesus Christ, and he wrote it down. And at this point, in the flow of the book of Revelation, he's finished with writing seven letters to the seven churches, and now the scene changes, and he's been invited into heaven, into the throne room of God, to watch and to see what's going on up there. Now, we this morning will not have the joy of going into all the different ways that people have interpreted the book of Revelation and what it means for us today. We won't have that joy. Maybe another time. What I want to see, what I want us to see, is that the Lord, in inviting John into the throne room, and John seeing all the things that are in the throne room, and describing for us how the Lord has set up where he lives. If I go to your house, and I see the way that you've decorated, and I see the way that you've set up, I can see a lot of things about who you are. And the Lord could pick any way he wanted to decorate his house. Like, we're limited by time and, well, okay, we're limited by budget is what we're limited by and what it is. He's not limited at all. And so he can make it look however he wants it to look. Fascinating. And so in this description are things that the Lord puts in his throne room, and they're things that John saw and John is communicating. And here's the other thing that's interesting about this, is as you keep reading in chapter 5, you find that there in the throne room that the Lord has this bowl where he has collected the prayers of the saints. And at some point in the flow of the story, in the rest of the book of Revelation, that bowl comes out and it becomes very important. And it's incense to him. It's wonderful to him. He treasures it, treasures the prayer that makes it up to this place. This is the thing that's interesting to me. This throne room is where our prayers go. And since none of us, I don't know, maybe one of you have had a vision of the throne room of God, it's possible. John communicates to us, hey, this is where that stuff lands. And in the description are some very, very, very encouraging things. Let me give you an example. For instance, John says, I was in heaven and I saw a throne and there was somebody sitting on it. Hallelujah. There's somebody sitting on the throne of the universe. It's not vacant. Isn't that glorious? It's not vacant. And it would be horrible if it was vacant. We'd have to elect somebody. And you know, as humans, we're terrible at electing people. Just terrible at it. We always pick the wrong person. We're all excited. This is the one. This, oh no, right? There's a throne in heaven, and there's somebody sitting on it. And that throne means judgment. Now, for the one that's done something wrong, what's encouraging is to know what the rest of the scripture says about that throne. And the rest of the scripture calls that throne the mercy seat. That's a good thing, that mercy triumphs over judgment. But some of us have been taken advantage of. Some of us have been done wrong. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been hurt. And it is a very comforting thing to know that that throne is not vacant, that there is a throne, and that there is somebody sitting on it, and that someone is a judge and a righteous judge. And mercy will triumph over justice, but justice will come, and that God sees, and that God knows. And so that in my prayer, I can pray and I can ask God, Lord, did you see what happened? Did you see what they did? Lord, you know how it feels. Lord, you know what all happened there. And the Lord goes, I know exactly what happened there. And I'm going to bring justice. Man, what a relief that I don't have to bring justice. That I don't have to avenge myself or take revenge or live in bitterness or in anger or in resentment towards somebody else. I know there's a judge and that judge is going to make it right. Amen? That's an encouraging thing. There is a throne and there is someone sitting on it. And hallelujah, it's not Donald Trump. It's not Justin Trudeau. It is not your spouse.
Is it Hillary?
It's not Hillary. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. It's not your boss. Amen. The Lord's on the throne. The Lord's on the throne. That's a wonderful thing to know. When John begins to look at the throne, because everything in the throne room, and this is obvious, when you look at design, design talks about sight lines. And so where does my eye drawn when I walk into this room or into this space? What's the first thing my eye sees? And the first thing John's eye sees is that there's a throne. Everything points to that throne. Everything emanates from that throne. And he sees there's somebody sitting on that throne. It's a person. It's not an object. It's not a thing. It's a person. And then when he begins to look, to try to see, well, who is sitting on that throne? There's no description given other than these two precious stones, jasper and carnelian. He goes, the one sitting on the throne looked like jasper and carnelian. Do a little research about jasper and carnelian in the scriptures, and it comes up earlier. We don't know exactly what jasper looks like. We do know it's a precious stone. It could be a diamond. Nobody's positive. It could have a green color to it. It could also be translucent with a pale blue or gray or blackish green. We aren't given the color, not at all. But we are given the name, jasper. Carnelian is similar. It is also a precious stone. Probably, most likely, is a ruby. So red, reddish color. But again, we're not given the color. We're only given the name. Jasper and carnelian. As you search in the Old Testament, those two stones come up again, or actually earlier in the Old Testament, and they come up in the description that is given by Moses for how to make the breastplate that fits on the high priest. You remember he had a breastplate. It was made out of gold. And it had 12 precious stones on it. And each of those precious stones were to represent one of the tribes of Israel, all of the sons of Jacob. the first stone on the breastplate is carnelian. It's sardius. You know who the first son of Jacob was? What was his name? Some of you guys have been hanging around church for a long time. What was his name? What was Jacob's first son? Huh? Nope. That was his brother. That was his brother, yeah. Yeah. Anybody know his name? Oh, this just turned into a Bible study rather than... this is like interactive. All right. The last stone is jasper. Does anybody know the last son that Jacob had? No. Benjamin. It was Benjamin. Yeah, it was Benjamin. Who was his first son? Anybody remember? Nobody still remembers? It's Reuben. Like the sandwich. Yeah.
We're doing 0 for 3 so far.
Lori's keeping score. Reuben and Benjamin. So the first son was Reuben. The last son was Benjamin. The first stone was carnelian or sardis. The last stone was jasper. Probably related to those two names. In Hebrew, when you say those names, Reuben's name literally is "Behold a son." Benjamin's name, what does his name mean? Son of my right hand. Perfect. That's why I'm here. It means son of my right hand, or my favorite son. And so anybody with a Jewish background that would read this particular description may say, hey, wait a minute, that is the stone for Benjamin. That's the stone for Reuben. And then put the names together and go, oh, that's the stone that represents, behold a son. My favorite son. Well, who's the son of God?
Jesus.
Who's the one at his right hand? It's Jesus. And if you want to see what or who God looks like, who does he look like?
Jesus.
He looks like Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Man, what a glorious truth to know that there is a throne in heaven, there's somebody sitting on it, and he looks like Jesus. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Very encouraging thing. As you go on in it, it says that there was a rainbow resembling an emerald encircling the throne. And so we know the rainbow means one thing in the scriptures. It's that memory of the promise that God made to Noah and to all his descendants, and we're all Noah's descendants, that he made to Noah and all his descendants that he would not destroy the earth again by water. And so we see the rainbow every once in a while. Sometimes we get to see a double rainbow or a triple rainbow. If you're really lucky, you get to see a triple rainbow. But God, as he looks out from the throne, he looks at the world. He looks outside of the throne room through the prism, through the lens of the memory of his promises. That's a glorious truth. Why is that? Well, I may not know the promises of God. I may not remember the promises of God. I may not be trusting in the promises of God. But God has chosen to surround himself with the memory of the promises that he's made to humankind. Number one, I'm not going to destroy the earth again with water. But he's made some promises to you and I as a Christian. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you in trouble. I'll show you the way out of temptation. I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will teach you. And he will remind you of the things that I've said. God, as he looks out, he is surrounded by the memory of the promises that he's made to you and I. That's a wonderful thing. I don't necessarily have to remind him of those or to trust him in those. He will act always according to his promises. What a glorious thing. Then you go on and you see that is surrounding the throne. There's 24 other thrones. There's 24 elders. They're dressed in white. They had these crowns of gold on their heads. We're not given their names. We make some assumptions about who they are. We assume, okay, there's 24 and there were 12 tribes of Israel and there were 12 disciples. So there you go. There's your 24. And then it gets a little squirrely because then somebody tells you, well, actually there weren't 12 tribes. There were actually 13 tribes. Every list only has 12 because there's one taken off of it. And you go, what do you mean? Well, as you go through the list, sometimes Levi's not there because he was the tribe that was set apart for the Lord. And then sometimes you read the list and Ephraim or Manasseh isn't there. It's actually, it just says Joseph, the tribe of Joseph. And you go, oh, well, the Levi's here, now Joseph's here, but those are two tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh, that's his sons. So every list has 12, but there's actually 13. And then you think about the New Testament and you go, okay, 12 disciples. And then, well, what do you do with Judas Iscariot? Okay, well, one dropped out. So we're just going to add in the Apostle Paul. Problem solved. Well, they didn't add in the Apostle Paul. They added in Matthias. What do you do with Matthias? He showed up, got the ribbon, and gets nothing? Like, what's going on here? So here's the point. We don't know who's on that list. And we're not given the names of the people on that list. But we are given a little clue about what's going on there in the name of the crown that they wear. The crown that they wear is not the diadem. It's not the ruler's crown. It is, in the Greek, the Stephanos. It's the victor's crown. And what we find is that the Lord is faithful to reward people when they make sacrifices for his kingdom in this life. There is a reward, and there is a recognition in heaven for sacrifice that is made here. That's a glorious thing if you're in Nigeria and you're running away from Boko Haram. That's a glorious thing if you're a pastor in China and the police are shutting you down. That's a glorious thing when you're a mom or a dad and you're laying your life down for your kids so that they could come to know the Lord and they could grow in relationship with Him. The Lord says, no, I see that and I will reward it. The Lord is a rewarder. Amen. Isn't that good? That's good. Then it's like the scene's kind of shifting. He starts with the throne. Oh, there's somebody on it. He's really focused on the throne. And then you can kind of tell he's kind of looking out a little bit. And he's like, man, there's this rainbow around the throne. That's really cool. And so you can see it's like his eyes are adjusting to what's going on there. And okay, there's this rainbow. And oh, there's some other thrones here. Look, there's these 24 other, and he's counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, runs out of toes, still counting, you know. And where did I start? I think they're in a circle. Were they in a circle? Were they in rows? I'm not sure. Well, do I recognize those guys? I don't think I recognize those guys. Well, if there's 24 elders and I'm one of the 12 apostles, how come I'm not on that throne? Is that me in the future? Anyway, so, you know, you got all that kind of stuff going on in your mind. And then we read, from the throne comes flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. It's like he got distracted for a little while by all the stuff sort of around the throne, and then all of a sudden, oh my, we're back at the throne. Why is that? Oh, because there's rumbling. There's lightning coming out of there. There's a peal of thunder coming out of there. It's like, oh, look at that. There's 22, 20. Whoa, 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 you know. What's going on over there? There's only one thing that means. When you see lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, what's being communicated? Power. Power. That throne is sitting on tons of power. So much power, it leaks. It can't be contained. Love and justice are sitting on top of unlimited power. The same power that created the universe is at that throne. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead came from that throne. The same power that's going to quicken our mortal bodies and change them into the eternal bodies is in that throne. Let Let me ask you a question. Do you need power? Do you need ability? Do you need strength? Do you need a miracle? Do you need power to say no to temptation? Do you need power to be able to serve others over the long haul? Do you need power to do what is right? Do you need power to witness for Jesus? Do you need power? There's power available at that throne. And there is so much power, it cannot be contained. It leaks out every once in a while. Oops, it leaked. Why? Because it can't be contained. Jesus, as you remember, when he left Matthew's gospel, all authority, all power has been given to me. Go therefore and be my disciples. We as Christians, by faith in Jesus Christ, have access to God's power, God's ability to accomplish God's work. And that's a wonderful promise. That's a wonderful truth. A wonderful revelation. As it goes on, it says that before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. We read that and we go, wait a minute, seven spirits of God? I thought there was one Holy Spirit. You're confusing me, Pastor. Seven spirits of God? Well, you read some of the other translations, some of the footnotes, and it'll say the sevenfold spirit of God. And that's that somebody just decided, well, there's a Holy Spirit, and maybe these are like the seven different ways that he manifests himself. That's probably true. The closest I can get to an understanding of the seven spirits of God or the sevenfold spirit of God is in Isaiah's vision of the throne. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, he says, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says, the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And you add up those and you get six. It's like I said, I can get close. I'm one short. So we don't quite understand all that's going on there. But if you did understand wisdom, you wouldn't need to be sitting here, would you? There's always a mystery to wisdom. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. And of counsel, and of understanding, and of insight. Paul wrote in Colossians that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Do you need wisdom? Do you need counsel? Do you need insight? Do you need understanding? Every man in the room should raise his hand if he's married. Yes, I need wisdom. Yes, I need counsel. Yes, I need understanding. Yes, I have no idea what's going on over there in her mind. Yes. What do you need wisdom? Do you need to know what job to take or what school to go to or what to do with this amount of money or what to do with this amount of resource or how to handle this particular problem? I don't know the future, but I know the Lord knows the future. Do you need wisdom? Wisdom is found in that throne room. The sevenfold spirit of God. Seven is always a mark of perfection. In the scriptures, of something that's finished, the sevenfold spirit of God. Can I go on a little bit further? In front of that throne, it says next that there is a sea of glass clear as crystal. How do you get water to be like glass, clear as crystal? There's only one way to do it. It's got to be still. It's got to be perfectly still. It's got to be undisturbed, unmoved, unaltered, perfectly still. How can that happen when the throne has rumblings and peals of thunder? It's all in the same room. Yet, the glassy sea doesn't change. How can it break our understanding? This is the peace that passes all understanding, that can guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And where is it? It's in the throne. It's where God is. He keeps in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Him. Peace. Do you need peace? Do you have anxiety? Do you have worry? Do you have stress? What are you afraid of? What makes you fearful? Is stress ruining your body? Is it ruining the relationships around you? Is that anxiety starting to run and to rule your life? I know a place where you can have peace. And it's not the local cannabis shop. Jesus paid it all. And He paid the price on the cross so that you could live in peace. No matter what is going on in the world around you, no matter what is happening in your own family, no matter what is happening in your body, no matter what is happening in your finances, no matter what's happening in your job, you, my friend, have access to peace. And peace, it passes understanding. One more. You'll give me one more? The four living creatures. This is really fun. The four living creatures, as you read the description, we just go, obviously John has no idea how to describe these guys. Because he's just grasping. And he's almost a valley girl at this point. It was like a this and like a that and like this and like that and like, you know, and it had eyes all around. And you know, we're following him. Okay, an ox. Okay, an eagle. Okay, human. Eyes all under with the wings and what? What? We read Ezekiel with the wheels. What? With eyes and the wheels. What? What is going on here? Did you know that the Lord has things that you don't know anything about? That you've never experienced before? They're outside of your experience. They're outside of your brain's ability to compute or to have logic. This is an accent piece for him. You know, you walk in and you're like, whoa, where did you get that? I've never seen that before. I got four of them. They're all different. And they move. You thought the human being was unbelievable. These four living creatures are just out of sight. And what's fascinating is that if one of us was to see one of these four living creatures, it would blow our mind. Yet it is only the accent piece in the throne room. It's like those ancient kings when they would have a peacock and a lion standing next to them. Everybody's like, whoa, you got a peacock in here. Whoa, you got a lion in here. Whoa. And the Lord, He's got, no, I got four living creatures. You know, it's like when Iron Man said, we have a Hulk. You know, it's just something outside of your, you know, outside of your understanding, you know. And it is what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah, talking for the Lord, he said, call unto me and answer me, and I will show you things that you do not know. Listen, the Lord has resources that you and I know nothing about. Do you have a troubled child? Do you have a child that's not living for the Lord? And you're laying awake at night worried, concerned about the choices that they're making in life. Listen, I want to encourage you. The Lord has resources you don't know anything about. And He has a way of getting a hold of people. And the way He likes to do it is always a surprise. It's always refreshing. Always. You looking for work? The Lord has resources that you don't know anything about. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Outside of our mind. That's glorious, isn't it? Best part of the whole chapter. First verse. What does it say in the first verse? After this I looked, and there in heaven a door stood What is it, church? Open. I might get excited. He has an open door policy. 24/7, 365, and better than that, no matter what you've been doing wrong or been doing right, that door is open. Why is that? Jesus said, I am the door. If any man comes through me. Isn't that glorious? Listen, right now, today, you and I can get down on our knees, if we're able, can get down on our knees. And when you begin to pray, when you pray in Jesus' name, not in your own merit, not in your own authority, not in your own good works, not in the things that you've done right or done wrong, but when you pray because you believe that Jesus has paid the price with his blood, because God loves you and wants to help you, and when you pray in his name, the sound of your voice is heard in this place. And it is treasured. It's kept. It's not forgotten. It's not ignored. It's treasured the way your grandma used to treasure your greeting cards when you would send them to her. Treasured. Treasured. In fact, the Lord sent Jesus to die on the cross so that you could do that exact thing. You could pray. And he could hear. And he could listen. And he could respond. And you could have access to all of those things that he has. You and him together in Christ. That's what he prayed for. I'm very happy to see on the run sheet here that we got here today that the next thing that we're going to do is, guess what? Pray. Don't walk out of here burdened. Don't walk out of here anxious. Don't walk out of here still carrying the same thing you carried on the way in. We have not because we ask not. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for revealing this to John. And then, Lord, thank you for all the people over the centuries that have preserved these words, copied them, translated them, in many cases sacrificed their own life so we could read them here this morning in Ottawa, 2020, in a printed book, and some of us even on a phone. Lord, you want to lift burdens today. Lord, you want to distribute joy and peace. Lord, you want to reconnect hearts with love and with encouragement and with life and with wisdom. Father, I pray that you would meet us here in a wonderful and beautiful and powerful way on this snowy morning. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come here today and to talk and to read your word. And then, Lord, now to pray with your people. Lord, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you face to face very soon. May it be tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.